Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together, we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick, and apparently some people believe in talking donkeys.
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
All right, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
So, we're in Psalms.
Yes, we are.
We're finishing Psalms.
Yes, we are.
And we're late today.
Yes, we are.
That is pretty much my fault, so I'll take this one.
Wait, how is it your fault?
Let me tell the story.
Okay.
And then you can apologize for your bit.
Okay, sure.
Mostly it is my fault.
All right.
Okay, here's what happened. So we're finishing up Psalms. There's 3 Psalms left, and then we're done, which is very exciting. But the last one had so much to say about it that I kept going down rabbit holes. Mm. And so I kept not being finished. And yeah. So then while I was trying to finish up,
I fell asleep.
You fell asleep.
Yes, I did.
Yes. And there was
and
no...
And when I fall asleep...
There was no coming back.
It's over. It's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it is my fault because I kept going down so many rabbit holes.
My head's like a, it's a Weeble. Is that Weeble's Wobble, right?
But they don't fall down.
Well, I mean, it doesn't fall down. It's still attached.
Yeah.
It just leans over a lot and like, you know, yep. Springs back occasionally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that is definitely you.
Yeah.
So apologies that this is coming out tonight instead of this morning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're doing it though.
But
and we're doing it on the correct day still.
And it is still on the correct day. And I think that there's some interesting stuff that will be said that you'll be like, okay, I forgive you, wife.
All right. Speaking of interesting stuff,
mm-hmm.
I want to do a shout out here for someone who was already a patron and then wasn't, but then they came back. And so Dion. Thank you.
Thank you, Dion.
Subscribed at the $25 level.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, whoa, because I was worried. I was actually worried. I thought we maybe pissed them off when they left, but then they came back with a vengeance.
Oh my God.
And they're like, I'm back, bitches.
Apologies, Dion, if that's not wording that you would have said that we put in your mouth.
But no, but like, wow, amazing.
Yes.
That was so cool.
Very cool.
I was very happy to see that we get to see you again in mm-hmm. Patreon. Mm-hmm. And also, I saw that you were on Twitter and Instagram and all over the place. So I was like, whoa, hi.
Yay. And so, Dion's back.
Hi, Dion.
Thank you so much for your support.
Yeah, no, it's really amazing. Thank you so much. That being said, we're going to go ahead and get into Psalms. Oh, mm-hmm. I forgot to say.
What?
If you want to be an amazing, awesome person like Dion, mm-hmm. You can go to our Patreon site, which is patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
It is.
And you can become a supporting member for as little as $2 a month. And every little bit does help us very much.
You just can't even know how much it helps. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And that being said, what are we getting into today?
Well, like I said, we're finishing up the book of Psalms. Yay!
Yay!
We are reading Psalms 148, 149, and 150.
Awesome. Let's go do this.
Okie dokie. All right. So Psalm 148.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I'm as ready as I'll get.
I'm so excited we're finishing up.
I am very excited we're finishing up.
Praise the Lord.
No, still.
Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Shine on. Yeah. You crazy diamond. And you waters above the skies. That was Pink Floyd. Shine on, crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
Okay.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
He set them in place forever and ever.
Oh, man. But I thought he's doing that whole rapture thing.
Also, stars
die. That's not like forever and ever. That's just like a few thousand years or something. Yeah.
So, I mean,
at some point, the universe actually is going to end.
Right. So, like, a long time.
Yeah, really long time, maybe.
Almost forever. Possibly. Forever insofar as the human mind can imagine, but not forever in actuality.
If you ask a Christian today that believes in, like, you know, the what is it?
The rapture.
The rapture, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, it could happen tomorrow.
Right.
We could all end tomorrow.
Yeah.
We need to be prepared.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
I also am not.
You know, if... I just, what?
What if you believe that, like, you just packed a bag and sat on the bus stop and waited?
But I don't get what it is. Like, they, it's like this love, it's like they're so excited about the end of the world. And I don't understand that excitement. I really don't get it. Like, I know they think they're going to a better place and that other people that believe with them are going to a better place and all this wonderful shit. But, like, how can you loathe your life so much that you're like, yeah, anything but this, fuck, let me get the fuck out of here.
Right.
You know, like, I just don't understand it.
The earth is too beautiful to be that sad. And I don't even like a lot of things about the human population. But the earth is too beautiful to leave behind like that.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, sorry, I was going off there about the rapture.
He gave a decree that will never pass away, except that it will. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths.
Wonder what praising sea creatures looks like.
Alligators.
They put their fins together.
Oh, great whales and sharks.
No, I'm saying, like, he's telling them to praise.
What
does a praising, what does a fish that praises God look like?
It's breathing.
Okay.
That's it.
Got it.
Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, snorby winds that do his bidding. You, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens.
Mm. So they were giving a lot of, like, abilities to inanimate objects mm-hmm. and animals that are not human
yes.
in that psalm. It was very interesting because
it was very old Testament.
They're like telling all the mountains to praise God and, yeah. and the animals to praise God. And
yeah.
I'm like, what? This is odd.
It feels very like Mesopotamian, like pre-Roman, like way back when we thought that, you know, fire was a magic instead of
right
like it just feels very
old
yeah. like ancient old, not just, you know, Old Testament old.
Right
It feels pre-Bible-y,
something like that. Yeah, it's really odd. That's
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm. So Psalm 148 is all creation exhorted to praise the Lord.
Okay
uh-huh. And it starts, praise ye the Lord from the heavens.
Yeah.
In the Septuagint, which is the early Greek translation,
yeah.
Psalms 145 to 148 are given the title of Haggai and Zechariah, which is why I almost included this one in
the last
reading right. yesterday's, but it didn't instead because it's one of the Laudate Psalms,
okay.
which I did look up how to pronounce that, oh. and it's either Laudate, which is like Italian or Latin, or it's Laudate.
Okay.
And I can't remember.
So it's either or, so they don't even have a consensus on the pronunciation.
Well, it depends on what language you're speaking.
Got it.
And so one of those is Italian and one of those is Latin, and I can't remember which, but either way, I'm not wrong. Ha 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 ha. So the Laudate Psalms, which I've decided to pronounce it Laudate.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Because the other way sounds too much like la da di, la da da. You know,
yeah.
Laudati.
Right.
So the Laudate Psalms are the Psalms numbered 148, 149, and 150.
Okay.
Traditionally all sung together as one psalm, and that's why I included it today.
Sure.
In the canonical hours, most particularly the hour of Lauds, Laudate.
Morning, is that right?
Which is also called morning prayer.
Right.
And that's where it derives its name from, these psalms.
Got it.
So let me just step back a second and talk about something that I haven't really mentioned before.
Okay.
In researching all of these psalms, I've come across a section called uses. And there are some faiths, and Catholicism is one of them, where they have a schedule of reading these psalms so that they are hit every month, or they read certain sections of the Bible every day so that the Bible is read throughout the year.
Got it.
Okay. And they're on a schedule. So you can look up, you know, what things are we reading on this day?
Sure.
Okay. And so there are different times of the day when specific things are read, and you can look up what time is this particular psalm read every day.
I see.
Okay.
So
that's where the whole Laudate comes from.
Got it.
That's what I'm referring to, is this is one that is read during the early morning prayers. And
okay.
then there are like mid-morning, there are super like before the sun comes up morning. Like there are all these different, and each of these different times has a specific name.
Got it.
And I haven't mentioned it because it only has to do with particular faiths like Catholicism, which isn't really what we're doing right now.
Right.
And
right.
We're just reading the Bible. Yeah,
we're
just reading the Bible. I'm only mentioning it now because these are the Laudate Psalms.
Sure.
And I wanted to explain a little bit, just the teensiest bit of why they are called that.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
And why also the word laud comes from that.
Got it. Okay.
So these are the morning prayers. They sing these every morning, all three together.
Got it.
Old Testament scholars have also classified this particular one as a creation psalm and a wisdom psalm. And I didn't even have to look those up because
sure.
those are self-explanatory.
Right.
Church buildings have been decorated with the creatures mentioned in Psalm 148 for ages now.
Okay.
And so when you see a church building and it's got critters on it, that's what it's referring to.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
It won't necessarily say Psalm 148 on it.
And right.
It won't
right.
say these creatures are from the fucking Bible. It'll just have creatures and you just know. Like, oh.
Okay.
That's why there's creatures. That's why there's birds. That's right. why there's fruit trees and fucking cattle and stuff. Like, okay.
Yep.
All right. So now we're going to read Psalm 149.
All right.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with his tambourine and harp.
I wonder how that works when, you know, there's like certain Christian groups that don't believe in dancing and singing and stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
Like how do they view, you know, words like that when it's specifically in the Bible to celebrate God? Where do they get the thing where they're not supposed to dance and sing? I don't understand
because
that.
There's other places where God says be silent.
So like you can make the Bible be whatever you want it to say. You can make it
there's
say whatever
a thing
you want.
That's called cherry picking.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You heard of that?
I have.
And they do it.
Yeah. Okay.
This is an act which anybody who claims anything defends their point of view,
right?
Because of the Bible,
yeah,
they have cherry picked that item.
Okay,
atheists included,
right? Yeah,
like anytime we're like, it even says it in the Bible. Anybody, right. whether they are Christian or Catholic or Jewish or atheist or anything, you have cherry picked that fact to support your base.
That is true. Okay. Yes.
Now, there's a different reason why you might have cherry-picked. You might, for example, be trying to say it's in the Bible, which makes it perfect. Or you might be trying to say it's in the Bible, therefore, your argument is null and void because this proves the opposite of what you're saying.
Right.
You know, which is you're saying XYZ came from the Bible, therefore it's a fact, but yet ABC purely contradicts that and is also in the Bible.
Sure.
So I'm not trying to say that people on the side of atheism or agnosticism or whatever, when they cherry pick, I'm not trying to say that it is bad that they are doing so, merely that we all cherry pick.
Right. No, I gotcha.
Sorry, I got off track there a little bit.
You're fine.
Okay. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in his honor and sing for joy on their beds.
Okay.
For joy on their beds. Sing. Mm. Sometimes I jump up and down on my bed
That's
and I
joyful.
Sing.
That's joyful. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I always think of the opening scene from the movie Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah.
When she thinks she's going out on a date. Her name is Chris. And she's getting ready for her date with her boyfriend. And she's so excited. And she's singing, "And then he kissed me." And she's like jumping around on her bed singing.
Right.
It's the best scene ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their king with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord.
Mm. Yeah, okay. There's more of that killing shit.
Whee!
Yay!
Murder's good! Says it in the Bible! So Psalm 149 is Israel exhorted to praise the Lord, starts, sing a new song unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Psalm 149 is marked by its martial tone in that it calls on the people to be ready to fight.
Yeah.
Go, go, gadget, fighting fists.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that they got the praise was supposed to be in your mouth and the sword in your hand and not the other way around. Because that would be really bad if they got that wrong.
Right.
I'm glad the interpretation correctly. But then it still involved violence against other people. So might have saved a lot of trouble if it did get interpreted the other way.
Yeah.
Just saying.
You're not wrong. Verse 2 is recited by the creeping creatures in Parak Shirah. Like, wait, what? So first let's read verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king.
Okay.
So that's verse 2.
Yeah.
Now, what the fuck is Parak Shirah?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm sitting here thinking exactly that.
This is one of the fucking rabbit holes I went down.
Yeah, okay. What the fuck is that?
Okay. It literally translates to chapter of song, and it is an ancient Jewish text.
Okay.
Okay. There are a number of different versions. So finding any one particular one that like describe or that sums up, like, this is what it is, is not simple.
Okay.
Okay. The text itself was first printed in 1576, but it was mentioned as early as the 10th century.
Okay.
So the year 900 and something is when we first see mention of it. Okay. It contains 85 sections, in each of which elements of creation, beginning with the celestial and ending with dogs, use biblical and rabbinic verses in order to sing God's praises. So remember in the previous one when we saw
animals
and mountains and shit?
So like someone literally wrote how to do that or something?
No, someone literally wrote these animals and creatures and things giving praise to the Lord.
Oh my, we have to read that at some point.
Yes, that is where I went down a rabbit hole because I was like, what is this?
Right?
Yeah, it's an ancient Jewish text and it talks about this stuff.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So, yeah, I'm all in.
Yeah,
I literally did a copy paste and added that to my list of, oh, we're covering this.
Yeah.
Okay. So, they use biblical and rabbinic verses in order to sing God's praises.
Okay.
Though Parak Shirah means chapter of song, the book is actually organized into six different chapters.
Okay.
The song begins with the heavens who say, the heavens speak of the glory of God and of his handiwork, the skies tell. And that is from Psalms 19, verse 2.
Okay.
And then the book ends with the dogs who say, come, let us prostrate and bend our knee and kneel before God our maker. And that's from Psalms 95, verse 6.
Okay.
Okay. So it goes through and it says, the clouds say this, the mountains say this, the dogs say this. Okay.
Yeah.
The vast majority of the verses of Parak Shirah are biblical. Okay, so they're all pulled from the Bible.
Sure.
And most of these are from the book of Psalms.
Got it.
There are also a few verses from the Babylonian Talmud.
Okay.
And there's at least one from Kabbalistic literature.
Oh.
So Kabbalah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There are a very, very few whose sources are unknown.
Got it.
So we're talking like two or three that we're like, we have no fucking idea.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Some of the birds and animals listed are difficult to identify.
Okay.
A couple that they named are something that we think is elephants, but elephants weren't available at that point when they were writing about it.
Okay.
Most of the creatures named are found in the Holy Land. Elephants was not one of them at that time. They came later. They came in the 1500s.
Okay.
Is according to the notes that I read.
Well, I wonder if they had exposure to them through like other, you know, like warring things that they were doing and
that's
stuff like that. So.
The 1500s. Is when that happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how they were introduced to elephants.
Got it.
Somebody brought elephants over during one of their crusades or war things and were like, we're riding fucking elephants. You know, bend your knee and we're going to kill you anyway
because right.
I'm on an elephant, bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I would be.
Right.
So I started in this part. This is only one of my rabbit holes, okay?
Yeah.
I started to write down all of the things that give blessing, like whatever. And then I remember, wait, there's fucking 85 of these.
Right. Okay? That's a lot.
So I'm not going to go through all of them, obviously. But
sure.
I am going to say a few. These are some of the things that the heavens say give blessing.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The heavens is the first one. The
yeah.
earth, the Garden of Eden. Gehenna, which is, yes, related to Gehenna.
Right.
It's the land of the afterlife, the dead.
Right. Right. Okay? Yeah.
The wilderness, the fields, the waters, the seas, the rivers, the wellsprings, the day, the night, the sun, the moon, the stars, the thick clouds, the light clouds, the wind, the lightning bolts, the dew, the rains, and on and on and on.
Got it.
That's where I stopped.
Right.
I was
like, enough.
Yeah. Like, I think we get the idea.
Right.
But yes, this, what did I say? It's called Parak Shirah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parak Shirah. Okay.
Okay.
I'm so down with this. We need to get a copy of it.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, I agree.
Okay. So now we're going to read Psalm 150, which is where another of my rabbit holes came
Lord.
In. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but you could see why I was like, oh, I'm reading all of this.
Well, yeah, of course.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So Psalm 150, praise the Lord.
No. Hold on. I have to say it emphatically. Fuck no. Because we're on the last
psalm.
This is my last opportunity to say.
Okay, let me start over.
Yeah.
Psalm 150. Praise the Lord.
Fuck no.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely fucking not. Not a fucking chance in hell. Fuck no. Fuck no.
Okay.
Sorry, that was it. I'm done now. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
You want to say it one more time?
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay. I was just making sure.
Yeah.
You're done.
I'm absolutely done.
Okay.
No, fuck no.
Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens.
Now it's just taunting me.
I know. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet.
I don't have any trumpets.
Praise him with the harp and lyre.
Nor do I have those. I know you want to get a harp, but
I really do.
I don't think I want to get one.
Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. We have a tambourine.
And we can dance.
And I even know where the tambourine is.
But you know what I'm still not going to do?
What?
Praise him.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Also, I'm not going to go dig out that tambourine.
No.
I know where it is, though. I got it out because I was babysitting.
Right, right.
Yeah. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals.
Wait, what?
Cymbals.
Those are different. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Like the clash of
cymbals. They got two mentions,
versus,
though.
I know, right?
Clashing and resounding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like one is just noise. The other is music.
Right.
I guess
something like that.
The way I define
two different
it.
Ways to hit them, maybe. I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then just one more time, just to make sure you got it.
Yeah.
It says, oh, hey, praise the Lord.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Okay.
No praising here.
So. That let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's like so important because that gets into, you know, the fish that you asked about.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They don't have Well, technically they do take oxygen in through their gills.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess they kind of have breath.
I guess. I don't really know how it works though. So, I mean, if we want to talk like that, then fucking the plants have breath, you know?
Right, right.
So, whatever.
I know.
Okay. So this is the last time I get to say Psalm 150 notes.
Are you sad about that?
I'm sad I don't get to keep saying Psalm, but that's the only thing I'm sad about. Like, fuck Psalms. I'm sorry. I'm so ready to be done with them.
Right.
They were not the beauty I was promised.
No. No, they were not.
No.
No.
So Psalm 150 is a call to praise God with musical instruments.
Yeah.
It starts, praise ye the Lord. This final psalm parallels the first psalm in that they have the same number of verses.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
According
Symmetry is important.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay. Ready? Here's where I went down my second rabbit hole, and I could have stayed here all fucking night. And I kind of did. I spent an hour, and then I like went back and was like, I got to cut this down.
Right.
So we're going to do another episode about this at some point.
Was that after or before my head started nodding off?
You were already starting to fall asleep.
Oh, okay.
I was like, okay, he's done.
I was just curious.
So now I can just read for pleasure. Yeah. At that point, I was like, okay, we're obviously not doing this tonight.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm just being curious, and this is all just selfish for me.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
So according to the Kabbalah, which remember that's Jewish mysticism.
Right, right.
Okay. The 10 expressions of praise in this psalm correspond to the 10 sephirot, which are divine emanations. Okay.
Okay.
I was like, okay, let's take a step back a second. Tell me about Kabbalah again now.
Which is like magical Judaism,
yeah,
basically.
It's mystical Judaism.
Right,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
It's an esoteric method, discipline, and school of thought in Jewish mysticism.
Sure.
Okay. So I was like, okay, now I get Kabbalah kind of. So wait, hold on. But what is the 10 sephirot? So remember, there were 10 expressions of praise.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So those are supposed to correspond to the 10 sephirot.
Okay.
And those are divine emanations.
Okay.
So they are the 10 attributes through which Ein Sof, which is the infinite, another word for God.
Okay.
Reveals itself and continuously.
Wait. Let's back up just one second.
Okay.
What did you just say? Ein Sof? And like what?
Ein Sof.
What is that?
It's another word for the infinite or God.
Okay.
E-I-N-S-O-F.
So we now have another word for God.
In Jewish Kabbalism.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
This gets into some real like new age hooey hooey shit.
Got it.
Like, not going to lie, when I first saw the chart of the 10,
yeah,
it looked like the same thing as, I forget what they're called, but, like, you sit in the lotus pose, and you've seen charts of it where there's, like, a dot on like your head, your throat, chakras.
Okay.
You've heard of those, right?
I have heard of those, yes.
Okay. This very much aligns with that.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So I don't know if like they're correlated right. or related. I don't know if one influenced the other or it just so happened that these two things separately developed where there's a chart
sure.
that
is similar.
Almost are exactly the same.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But that when I saw this chart, I was like, those look like chakras.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And mind you, I don't know shit about the chakras.
Nor do I.
I just
have heard the word and I know that it's new agey.
It's new agey.
That's about all I know.
And this, like I said, this lines up with that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Sephirot are the 10 attributes or emanations of the infinite.
Okay.
Which it's another way of saying God or the universe. Like it's less like man God and more like the universe.
Got it.
How we're all interconnected. It's
more spiritual.
Spiritual. Yeah. Right. Like new age, like I said.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it is the way these 10 attributes. It's the way the infinite reveals itself and continuously creates both the physical realm and the chain of higher metaphysical realms.
This sounds really fucking
new age, right?
Yeah.
It's totally like Kabbalah. You can see why people are like, oh, I do Kabbalah. Right? Like you can see that girl. She believes in crystals and she's like, I do crystals and I burn incense, but I'm not Wiccan. That is not a religion. That is a practice. Mm-hmm. It's an art. Like if you talk to somebody, they will tell you all the differences and why you're wrong to have used the wrong word.
Sure.
And let me tell you something. You will always use the wrong word because every single person who believes in like new age stuff and spiritualism and stuff, they all have their own vocabulary.
Got it.
So you will always use the wrong word. And they all talk like this and they're all very calm. Okay.
Got it.
And they go, when you talk to them. And you're like telling them like, oh, my husband left me and, you know, took the dog and he drove away in the pickup truck. And you're like crying and sobbing and they're patting you. They have a hand on your shoulder and they're going, Okay. So that's the person I'm describing that
would
today be involved in this.
Okay.
Along probably with like Madonna or something.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So the Sephirot, again, those are the 10 thingamabobbers. Okay.
The 10 thingamabobbers. Is that's official terminology there?
I mean, it's as good as saying attributes of the universe or fuck ever, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So the 10 thingamabobbers are described as channels of divine creative life force or conscientiousness. Through which the unknowable divine essence is revealed to mankind.
Okay.
Is that not a bunch of hooey hooey nonsense?
It sounds like hooey hooey nonsense to me.
Okay. Are you ready to learn what these 10 are?
Let's do it.
That the 10 praises from this psalm relate to these 10 attributes of the universe divine.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's find out. Yeah.
Okay. Number one is Keter or Keter. And it means crown, which that is directly related to the chakras because theirs is also the crown.
Okay.
And you can even imagine where it is,
and these,
right?
And these are hypothetically related to this psalm that we just read?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The crown.
All right. Okay? Yeah.
That is the divine superconscious will that is beyond conscious intellect. Keter is also sublime. It is the most hidden of all hidden things. And it's completely incomprehensible to man.
That sounds like what a lot of people describe God as. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can't know because he's not for us to know.
Others might refer to it as your third eye.
Okay.
You know, that kind of thing.
It. Yeah.
Like, you just, your third eye is shut.
Right.
Third eye blind, if you will.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. I just made myself laugh. Okay, number two is Chokma, and that means wisdom.
Okay.
Okay, and there's a whole thing about, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I cut all that.
Blah, blah, okay. Wisdom, blah, blah, blah.
Right. We all know what wisdom means.
Sure.
We didn't need the extra. Remember, I was like, oh, I'm writing all this down. And then I was like, shit, I got to cut this back.
Right.
Okay. And I was like, we know what wisdom means.
Okay.
Okay. Number three is Bina or Bina, and that's understanding.
Okay.
So you can know a thing, but you might not understand it. Sure. So that's why they're separate.
That's also something that people tell me about the way we're reading the Bible all the time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, well, you just can't understand it the way it's meant to be
understood. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, the fuck you mean? I'm reading it. I'm reading the goddamn word for word.
It's malicious compliance, though, is what we're engaging in.
No, you're right. To an extent, yes, you are correct. And I will grant that we do not play the game of the Bible, right? We're not sitting here going, oh, this relates to that, and that relates to this.
Oh, this is beautiful.
No, I'm taking it as it comes at me. Right? And the things that pop in my head are what I react to, because it's what makes the most sense to me as far as what I've read thus far in the Bible. But, I'm not searching for a greater meaning.
Right. That I was going to say. But having said that, it's not like we are open so much. Like, when we first started this, we were like, hope this is better than, you know, what I expected will be dry and boring. And we were like, maybe even there will be some nice bits. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we hoped that maybe some of the spiritual aspect of it might occasionally be like, okay, that was nice. What a nice Goddard book.
Right. But it's just like it proves us. So like every chapter that we read has something in it that's like, God's a dick. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, I know I say it all through the Bible, but like, so how do you get past the God's a dick bit and move on to, yeah, but let's find the beauty in this text, because I can't get past the part where he's killing people all the time and say, I want to find the beauty in this. No, he's a fucking dick. He's killing people. He's an asshole.
Yeah.
And I can't get past that. So I'm reading it as it is coming at me, and I'm saying, that's stupid.
And
that's
we're
dumb.
Definitely, I will admit, we are definitely no longer open to whatever beauty might come from it. I might say that was a nice passage.
You know what? I plan on revamping my openness a little when we get to the New Testament, because it's a separate book. It's a separate,
We'll do a reset and be like, okay,
all right, I'll give this a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a chance.
Not as big a chance as the Old Testament got, though, because like by the time we get to the New Testament, knowing what the history of that God is, that's going to be a really hard sell.
Yeah, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that he's reformed himself miraculously with this death and resurrection bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to buy it. There's no way.
Speaking of God as a dick.
Yeah.
Number four.
Uh-huh.
Chesed means loving kindness and charity, which God isn't.
Right.
But we're supposed to believe that he is, though.
Well, they throw that in there occasionally. They're like, you know, treat the poor well. And,
but that's,
you know,
God telling man to do that. We've not seen examples of God's loving kindness, even though they keep telling us, praise God and his loving kindness.
Yeah.
I've never seen his loving kindness.
Yeah, they don't do a good job of like making that abundantly clear.
Right.
So.
Right. And his charity. Let me talk about charity for a minute.
Mostly his charity is letting us live.
Right. That's not charity.
Right.
Charity means giving something to somebody else that you know can help them.
Right.
And
not like with, you know, like when he gave the birds to the people in Israel.
Right.
That was
malicious compliance at its finest. Yeah. That was sarcastic bullshittery, honestly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, charity too, it depends on not the amount that you're giving, but how much it means to you that you're giving it. For example, both of our parents gave us a gift of money, and one has a lot of money and only gave $100 to us. This was for like, he gave $500 to us or something like that.
Sure.
And it was like for a birthday or Christmas or some shit like that.
Right.
The other one did not have a lot of money and gave $100.
Yeah.
And that $100, knowing how much it impacted them and how it set them back, like, we were hesitant even to accept it.
Right.
Because we knew that they couldn't afford that charity.
Right.
That was charity.
Yeah.
The other money, while we were grateful for it, we knew that it didn't hurt that person. Sure. It didn't even make them blink.
Right.
And so, yes, we were grateful and it was cool and it was nice and it was good. I have a really hard time giving the same amount of gratitude to both of those gifts.
Sure.
One meant more.
Yeah.
To the person giving it.
Completely agree.
And so when God, quote unquote, allows me to give, that's nothing. Allows me to live is what I meant to say.
Right. Sorry. I was confused for a second.
When God allows me to live, that doesn't mean anything. He could give me $1 million and it's like, thanks, whatever.
Right.
Like, I appreciate it,
the ability to fix all ills in the world.
Yeah.
And yet you want us to praise you for occasionally being lenient. And fuck you.
It's like saying about my ex, you know, well, he didn't give you black eyes. Why did you divorce him? And it's like, God let you live. You should totally thank him.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. I respect myself a little more. And my bar is a bit fucking higher than
that. Well, and his reasoning is like, well, I gave you life. It's like when a mom or somebody's like, I brought you
into this world and like, I could take you out.
That doesn't mean you have, you know, endless supplies of forgiveness for that. You have to still be a decent human being.
Right.
And treat your child well.
Yeah.
So,
and God just, does not seem to do that.
Right.
So
right.
I'm sorry, his gifts, they don't have weight with me.
Right.
So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go off, but that word charity and talking about God, I'm
triggered like. Triggered
you, huh? Yeah, it did. It triggered me. So anyway, God, or chesed, means loving kindness and charity.
Okay.
And that God doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, gevura means strength, which also is related to judgment and limitation and awe.
So really they're talking about his right hand here, huh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Number six, Tiferet means beauty, glory, adornment, spirituality, balance, integration, miracles, and compassion.
Wow.
That's okay. A lot.
That's a lot. Okay? Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big bowl.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big bowl of stuff.
Right.
Number seven, Netzach means... You shut up and try to pronounce these things. Means eminence, everlastingness, perpetuity, eternity, victory, and endurance.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Number eight, Hod means majesty, splendor, glory, submission, humbling.
Okay.
Number nine, Yesod means foundation.
Okay.
Like earth kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, okay? Sure.
Number 10, Malkuth means kingdom. The physical world, earth, okay?
Yeah.
So you got it?
I mean, somehow, I will never remember all those, so.
Somehow the 10 praises
relate
to the fact that there's 10 of them and there's 10 attributes.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are cool. Those are related.
Got it. Okay? I would love to talk to somebody that knows more about this at some point.
Kabbalah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
that,
my God.
I mean,
we need to find a Kabbalist expert. Like, you know, like they're... That's got to be a rabbit hole we dig into at
it's
some point.
It's got to be somebody who's like totally knowledgeable, but not all in.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, obviously.
Because yeah.
I want a scholar person talking to me about
Kabbalah.
Or what is it?
Kabbalah.
Kabbalah.
Or Kabbalism.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I want a scholar to talk to me about it and tell me how, what the fuck? What is all this? You know?
Tell me.
I want to know more.
It's like the original. It's the OG New Age.
Yeah.
So, okay, but we're not done.
Oh, hey, we're not done.
We're not done.
Now, this is a short psalm to have this much shit.
Because it's the last one, so it's got the most weight.
Got it.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, additionally, the word Hallel, which let us not forget means praise.
Sure.
Can be found 13 times in this psalm, correlating to the 13 attributes of mercy, which we covered at one point, but... We'll go over what those 13
are. You said originally, because we didn't read Hallel in there at all.
No, because we're not, the word was praise instead
of
Hallel.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Yeah, because we're not reading Greek or Hebrew.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, it's confusing because sometimes in the Psalms that we have read, that you do use the word Hallel.
As a title.
Or a definition
or a descriptor.
Got
Hallel.
It.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
Fair enough.
But. This was saying praise this, praise that.
Got it.
And so they didn't say Hallel this and Hallel that.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. So the word Hallel, which means praise, can be found 13 times in this, and that correlates to the 13 attributes of mercy.
Okay.
We have covered those, but we're going to cover them again.
Mm.
Okay. And the 13 attributes of mercy are the divine attributes with which God governs the world.
Okay.
13 attributes of mercy. Ready?
Sure, I'm ready.
Number one, compassion before a person sins. Number two, compassion after a person has sinned. Number three, compassion to give all creatures according to their need. Socialism. Number four, mercy that humankind may not be distressed. No, you laughed.
Well, I mean, I think being flooded to death would be distressing.
Yeah. Being, I'm so stressed out. Canada's on fire.
Being like rained down with fire from the sky would be distressing.
Yeah.
You know, getting swallowed up by an earthquake would be distressing.
Pretty fucking distressing.
I mean, he seems like he's done something. Being bombarded by birds when you're just starving
to death. He's not merciful.
Would be distressing.
They keep telling us he's merciful, and I'm like, but he's not, though.
Having an invisible angel stand in front of you who's going to murder you would be distressing.
The murder angel.
Yeah, I'm just, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that he does that's very distressing.
Yeah.
And
that's because he's not merciful.
Right, yeah.
So it says he rules with mercy that humankind may not be distressed, but he doesn't rule with mercy, so humankind is, in fact, distressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number five, gracious if humankind is already in distress. He's gracious.
Bullshit. You have to come back and grovel before him before he'll fucking turn around and help you. Well, you got to be like, oh, God, please give me, I will submit everything to you. I give up all my, I need help. Fucking hell.
But here's the thing. If you ruled with mercy so that humankind would not be distressed, then you wouldn't have to be gracious because humankind wouldn't already be in distress.
Moreover, you're supposed to be omniscient and, you know, all that shit where you know what's going to, like, you already know what's going to happen according to your people that say that you know what's going to happen.
Right.
And I'm like, if you already know what's going to happen, what does any of this matter?
None of it
matters. None of this fucking matters if that's the case. And if it's not the case, if you don't know what the fuck's going to happen, then you're not as godly as you want.
Your followers seem to want.
You're not godly at all. There is no fucking God.
Right.
But if there were a God, I'm just going to go on the hypothetical. If there is a God, if you don't know what's going to happen, you're not that good at your job.
Right.
You know, you're slacking, man.
Number six, slow to anger.
Fucking hell.
I knew that one would get
you. Are you fucking kidding me?
Number seven, plentiful in kindness. Number eight, truthful. He's not, though.
I mean, well, I'm trying to think of a time specifically.
He sent angels out to lie on his behalf.
Well, but can you specifically say that God has said anything untruthful? I can't think of a specific instance. Now, that's not to say that it doesn't exist, but
I think that that is more maybe fact than spirit of the law.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm.
But, whatever.
Okay.
I mean, look, he's already fucked up a lot of these on this list, so I'm trying to give him something, okay. You know?
All right. Number nine, keeping kindness unto thousands.
But just thousands?
Unto thousands.
Right, but why thousands? There's billions of people in the fucking world.
Because when they were doing this, there was only thousands.
I just wanted to clarify.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, number 10, forgiving iniquity.
Okay.
Meaning badness, when you do bad things.
Got it.
When you're a perv, forgiving it, okay?
Well, if you ask people today, apparently he's really good at forgiving that because they forgive all kinds of people, all kinds of shit for doing things bad.
Only if you're Christian.
Right. But, you know, it depends on which God you're talking about. Sometimes he would just fucking kill people for doing the slightest thing wrong.
Yeah.
And then sometimes he's like, you can, you know, enslave an entire village and rape some of the kids and whatever, and it's all good, you know?
What else?
But if you light that incense the wrong way, I will murder you.
Right. Because smiting is fun.
I don't quite understand where his thresholds lie, but I don't agree with them in any way whatsoever.
I've said it before. He's quite pernicious and has a mercurial temperament.
Yeah.
He's persnickety. Number 11, forgiving transgression.
Okay.
Number 12, forgiving sin. And number 13, pardoning.
Got it. Okay. I like how the last three were all like
the same.
Yeah. And they act like
it's last four.
It's like they're trying to
forgive, pardon.
Right, but they're trying to drill it into our head that he's a forgiving and pardoning God or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no.
Just no.
No, just no.
Right.
I mean, I've read this book so far, and I have not seen anything that would call that would let me call him, them, it, whatever, a right. forgiving God.
Exactly.
I don't agree.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I agree with your disagreement.
Do you agree with the fact that we are done?
No, I have one more thing.
Oh, okay.
Just
I'm sorry.
One more small thing.
I thought
you saw the blank space that comes at the end of my notes.
Yeah, so yeah.
I had one last little sentence.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will forgive you.
Thank you for forgiving me. I forgive you.
Oh, yeah.
For being such an asshole that you would say such a thing.
I know, right? Yeah. 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 Thank you. See how forgiving we are?
We're so forgiving. Okay, so the directive
Hallelu,
which is hallelujah.
Oh, you know, okay.
Like Hallel is praise, hallelujah.
Okay.
They're related.
Yeah.
It's seen 12 times, which corresponds to the 12 new moons that occur in a Hebrew calendar year.
Pagan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I have one more thing to say.
Yeah.
I didn't write down which verse it was because who gives a shit? There's one that they will say that verse twice to make it 13 in leap years. Because there's an extra moon, you know?
Oh, my God.
There was so much more, but I was like, I gotta stop. I gotta stop. And I thought that that funny leap year moon thing, like, we bend the rules. Like,
right,
we make it match. We cut the puzzle shape to make it fit.
God can't be wrong. Just copy that one over again. Just say it again. Say it again. Okay.
Our kid is putting together a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
It's like over 1,000. No, it is 1,000 pieces.
Uh-huh.
And it's just it's a picture of a bunch of different doors. It's
really
cool. But I was telling them that I recently watched some like old British movie. Who cares? That's beside the point. But in the movie, there's a lady putting together a jigsaw puzzle, and she's trying to make this piece fit where it won't fit. And she literally takes scissors to the piece and cuts off the extra little bobble.
Yeah.
And then sticks it down and pounds it into place and says, there, that's nice now. So that story has now served twice to make me laugh because it made kid laugh. And it fits exactly what that was that I just read to you.
Yeah, they're making the puzzle piece fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So
now I'm done.
Now you're done.
Now okay. I'm done.
All right. So that's all we got for today. We're done with Psalms insofar as the regular readings.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be back on Sunday with the
Sacrilegious Book Club.
And then Monday and Tuesday we'll be doing our episodes that will be
The wrap ups
and contradictions. We will have.
Don't forget your weekly replay on Sunday night.
Oh yeah. I'll have a weekly replay on Sunday night. And then on Wednesday, I think we're doing a special episode OK Atheist, where we're rebroadcasting one of their shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Thursday and Friday, I believe we're doing, I don't know, we're doing something.
I think we're releasing one of our previously Patreon restricted episodes. So y'all can get a taste of what you are missing.
Right. And then we might do a rebroadcast of something.
We'll see.
We'll see how that all goes.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're technically sort of kind of taking a week off.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see you all, when we get back.
We'll still see you.
Well, yeah, we'll still see you next
week. We'll see you Sunday. But insofar as...
But for regular Bible reading, we'll see you when we get back.
We'll see you a week from Monday to start the book of Proverbs.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.